Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The guys on the big show have been going at it for 3 hours, but they haven't crashed and burned. Yet.
Well, it's the big show.
It's time to reset today's big topics and let you pick a lane. Brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Open Tuesdays through Fridays and weekends through October. For more info, just go to GreatLakesDragway.com.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh. Only on 105.7 FM, The Fancy Sparky Pfeiffer, along with Gary Ellerson, Dan Plucker, producing the show today. Baby Tausch is off. He'll be back tomorrow. Backer Hall of Famer Leroy Butler is off. I have no idea if he'll be back tomorrow or not. Do you know, Gary?
I don't know.
Seem to know his schedule better than I do.
No, I don't.
So he may or may not be back here tomorrow. But Gary will be here. I'll be here. Baby Tausch will be here for sure coming up tomorrow. Let's do Great Lakes Dragway. Pick a lane. We'll give you a lane. Then you dial it up or tweet at us and let us know what lane you want to talk about and give us your take. The right lane. What is the biggest reason the Packers are now 8-2? This is coming off a piece written by Bob McGinn. The left lane today. Will the Brewers win a World Series with a small market mentality? We'll play you that David Stearns clip from MLB Network coming up momentarily on the Brewers. And then, of course, there is the return lane. And we'll play you that clip as well from Jason Terry and Ryan Clark earlier on ESPN Today. Is the Colin Kaepernick tryout a PR stunt by the NFL? Those are your three lanes. Dial it up, 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Gary Ellerson, let's start with the right lane. What is the biggest reason the Packers are 8-2, in your opinion, at this point? Bob McGinn pointed to red zone offense and red zone defense, and he also pointed to the turnover differential. The Packers right now a +9 with 16 turnovers or takeaways, I should say, on the year already by the Packer defense.
Yeah, all those are nice. I like those numbers, but I think maybe the biggest reason is health. I think they've been relatively healthy. I think if you look at the both tackles, Bakhtiari and Bulaga has been healthy. I think Elgton Jenkins has stepped in and played well at left guard. You had a little injury there, but you might even gotten better. Kevin King has played in all, how many games they played? 10?
Yep.
He's played in all 10 games, I believe. That's pretty good for him.
Hasn't played maybe well in all of them, but he's played.
Yeah. I mean, yes.
He's had his moments where he's played well.
He's playing up to a Pro Bowl level this year for him. So.
Pro Bowl level?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Can we do that as a topic tomorrow, maybe?
No one will agree with me.
Okay.
But, you know, that's just me. Yeah.
I hadn't heard anybody make that statement before. That was a new one for me.
You know, because a lot of people don't like him.
And no, it's not know, that I don't like him.
No, not you. I said a lot of people.
Why don't people like him? He has never said anything controversial or anything.
No, because he's been hurt.
Well, that's true.
And then why else you think they don't like him? Didn't you give up T.J. Watt to go get him?
T.J. Watt and... No, you got him and the linebacker Beagle,
right?
Instead of T.J.
Watt.
Beagle's no longer here.
There you go.
He's here, and he's not T.J. Watt as far as impact of his position.
There you go. See, and he's been hurt. So there you go. But I think he's been playing well. So me, I think the number one reason would be health. I mean, they've been relatively healthy the whole year.
Okay, so that's health is for Gary Ellerson. I'm going to go right along with Bob McGinn and say turnover differential, I think, is the biggest thing. They've had so many big key turnovers late in games this year by their defense when you thought the game was about to be tied or the game was about to be lost, and they got that big turnover. So for me, I think it's definitely turnover differential at this point. That's the right lane. What is the biggest reason the Packers are 8-2, 414-799-1250? Will the Brewers win a World Series with a small market mentality? That is the left lane. This from David Stearns being interviewed by Matt Vasgersian yesterday on the MLB Network talking about pitching.
Yeah, I get this question a lot about how we've developed our pitching, some of the strategies we've used, and the truth is, every team wants those horses. We're not against starters who can give us 200 innings, who can pitch deep into games, who can go out and win 18 to 20 games a year. We would love to have those guys. The truth is, in our market, we have to develop those. We have to draft them, sign them from the international market, trade for them when they're really young, and develop them through our system. And we're working really hard to do that. But until we do that, we have to go about this a little bit differently. We have to find some pitchers who maybe do things in a little bit of a different way and pair them up with a bullpen that can get us home when we're winning games. And so that's been our strategy, but certainly we'd love to draft, develop, and get guys to the big leagues who can give us 200 innings and win 18, 20 games. That would make things a lot easier for all of us and certainly make things a lot easier for Craig.
So the question is, if you're not going to spend money on pitching and you're not going to be able to compete with these larger market teams that can go get a Garrett Cole or can go get a Cole Hamels or can go get a Zach Greinke and spend all this money, it's going to be tough to go win a World Series with that type of small market mentality, Gary Ellerson. Will the Brewers ever win a World Series with this mentality that they have now?
Well, I just think it's just making good business sense. And I think he's right. They're going to have they're a lot like the Packers. They're going to have to draft and develop some pitching. And I'm okay with that. I think when you look at the long run, I think they've been playing well right now. David Stearns have picked up a lot of guys. They've been in playoffs 2 years in a row. Is Craig Counsell the winningest manager they've in Brewers history, or second winningest?
You mean by percentage? It's got to be by percentage. Numbers. He hasn't been here long enough for it to be wins.
Yeah, I believe he is. I think he has more wins than any other Brewers manager in Brewers history.
Well, my memory's horrible. I forget a lot of stuff.
Well look that up. Yeah, I think he's won more. I don't know if any other guy. Do you think Scrap Iron's got more victories than him?
I need to look.
I don't think. What about Harvey Wallbanger?
He wasn't here very long.
Yeah.
Definitely not Harvey Wallbanger.
No, I mean, I can't. What's your guy that?
Okay, here we go.
What you got?
George Bamberger.
Bambi?
Let's see here. We're going to go by percentage
totals? Numbers. Totals.
Total wins.
So I'm looking.
Phil Gardner.
Scrap Iron.
563.
Okay.
Ned Yost, 457.
Uh-huh.
Tom Treblehorn, 422.
Treblehorn's what I was looking for.
Craig Counsell, 405. George Bamberger, 377.
So 405.
Reneke, 342. 405. If you go by win-loss percentage, Dale Swain, 583 in 12 games. 12 games. Harvey Keene, 576. He was here for 8 years. Buck Rogers, 549. He got fired to get Harvey Keene the job to get them to the World Series. George Bamberger, 518. Tom Treblehorn, 515. Craig Counsell, 515. Reneke, 5.
How many games did Scrap Iron lose?
Well, Phil Garner's winning percentage is only 477. He lost 617.
He won 500, lost 600?
Won 563, lost 617. Most losses by a Brewers manager. Second most losses, Ned Yost at 502.
So most losses and most wins by a Brewer manager, Scrap Iron.
Correct. He was here for 7 years.
And how long Craig's been here? Four?
Craig Counsell has been here, 2015 and 2019. So
You got to think he's going to be here for another couple more years, don't you?
I think he can be here as long as he wants to be here, as him and Stearns get along.
I trust in Stearns and I trust in Counsell to get it done, yes.
Okay, that is the left lane. Now, the return lane is the Colin Kaepernick tryout set for Saturday in Atlanta, a PR stunt by the National Football League earlier today. We had Ryan Clark, former NFL DB, and, of course, Desmond Howard, former Green Bay kick returner, both on ESPN earlier this morning, and this is what they said.
It's like a theater. It's like a movie written, directed, scripted, and produced by the NFL for their own PR purpose. And then Colin says he didn't even know about it. Now, the star of your movie, you just gave him the green light. You got to come to this facility and start up. It's, to me, a big PR stunt.
Now, there you go. So that is return lane. Is the Kaepernick tryout a PR stunt by the NFL? 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. What say you, Gary?
I don't know what this is. And this caught me completely off guard, out of the blue. Listen, how you just sprain this on somebody in after week 10? I mean, the season's almost over. We having a tryout for this guy, Steven, and better yet, what do you say? They're going to do it on a Wednesday?
No, they're doing it on Saturday.
They're going to do it on a Saturday?
They should be doing it on a Tuesday when teams are able to get to them.
Well, they have an off day.
You got teams traveling on Saturday, half the league.
Then
you've got scouts at college games all day on Saturday.
Don't make sense. What is this?
You're giving them a very small window. And then they say, well, if you can't make it, we'll shoot video and send it to you of the interview and him physically doing the tryout.
Don't get it.
And you give him, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 3 days to get ready.
Don't get it.
And one of those days, he's going to have to fly. Yep. So really, he's got 2 days to get himself ready to go for this thing.
Don't get it. Don't understand it. I don't know what they're doing. If they would have done this during training camp, buy this all day long, but not after week 10, folks. NFL, what are you doing?
And they're not answering questions on anything.
Of course not.
They are not. They are not talking about anything of why they're doing it, why they picked Saturday versus Tuesday. They're just like went totally dark and said, we're doing it. That's that. Quit asking questions. It's none of your business. We're going to do it our way.
And I don't know why.
This is why the NFL gets second guessed on everything.
But this was done. It was buried, I think. I mean, you brought his name up here once again. But why would you open these can of worms up again? I don't get it.
Yeah, makes no sense to me either. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM. The Fan. Great Lakes Dragaway. Pick a lane. Let's go.
Let's go to Dion on the north side. Dion, you're up next. 105.7 FM. The Fan. D, what you got, man?
Yo, what's up, guys? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we got you, man. Come on through.
Man, the NFL should be laughed at. This is clearly a PR move. It's laughable at this point. There's no reason to bring this man in. We're going in a week 11. What system can you throw him in and he can be thrown into any team where he's going to benefit any team at this point with the season almost over? On top of that, just like you said, Gary, the thing was almost buried. You got Jay-Z, you bring Jay-Z in so that you can look more presentable in today's society's landscape of today, where everyone has to be so politically correct and everyone has to be so woke. You throw Jay-Z in the mix. Then you get this mockery of a tryout. This is ridiculous. It's laughable. I'm not taking it serious, and I don't think most people are. There are most people that are just going to give Jay-Z a pat on the back and say he has something to do with it. But the whole thing is a farce, and it's laughable.
Thank you for your phone call, buddy. Appreciate it.
I don't know. I have any inside information, so let me first preface this by saying this is Sparky's conspiracy theory. There's got to be some type of financial thing in the background of this, why they're doing this, and why maybe something's going on that they're trying to avoid having to pay out for or something like that. There has to be something tied to money here. Why would you have a special tryout for a player unless you were in fear of losing either a large sum of money or you made an agreement with Kaepernick when you had your settlement that at some point within so many days, he would get a tryout for the league?
Right.
Maybe that's part of the deal.
Don't know.
Not going to tell you when we're going to do it for you, so you just better be ready.
Right.
But we'll pick and choose when it is, and neither one of us are going to talk about why it's happening.
Right.
So maybe that's what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Just throwing it out there. Could be.
Yep.
All right. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Take a quick timeout.
Let's
come back.
Timeout.
Ricky on the north side. Doug and St. Francis, you guys are all coming up next. Still room for you, too. Great Lakes Dragway. Pick a lane here on The Fan. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Man, if you have not tried that birthday cake frosty that is going on at Wendy's celebrating their 50th anniversary, you are missing out. I know I'm missing out because I haven't gotten there yet. I'm going tonight. Promise you. Going tonight. And they also have a birthday cake cookie frosty sundae that you can get at Wendy's too. Limited time for both of these things. First time, to my best of my recollection, they've ever had a different type of frosting than they normally have. So this is a big, big deal, celebrating 50 years with Wendy's. Make sure to stop over at Wendy's on your way home and get yourself a little snacky snack for the ride home when you get home tonight. Ellerson, Steve Sparky, five of Great Lakes Dragway, pick a lane, right lane. What is the biggest reason, in your mind, the Packers are 8-2? Left lane, when will the Brewers win a World Series? The small market mentality where they're not going to spend big money on big name pitchers. And is the Colin Kaepernick tryout a PR stunt by the NFL? Your return lane. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Let's get out to my good friend Ricky on the north side. Ricky up next, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Ricky, what you got, man?
How's it going, gentlemen? I am a retired 32-year veteran of the Milwaukee Police Department, and I just want to say that I myself find some serious issues with the use of force across the United States by police departments against the minority community. I stand with Kaepernick, and I think that the NFL missed a golden opportunity to positively affect race relations across the country. I think that they should have supported Kaepernick. And I think that that this tryout is definitely a sham. I mean, Kaepernick should have been applauded instead of put out of the league. And that's what I have to say. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a good day.
Well, keep calling in, Ricky. We appreciate
it. Do you think Gary Ellerson?
You are.
That maybe, just maybe, in conspiracy land, that these NFL teams were pretty much told somebody better sign this dude.
No, well, there is rumor that the reason why they're having this because there are teams who want him.
Then why didn't said team bring him out on a Tuesday and work him out like every other NFL team does?
That's what I've heard through the rumor.
Why are we having a circus for this dude if you could have just brought him in yourself on a Tuesday to work him out?
Half of the NFL teams want him, and there's half that don't. They're split. So, they're saying this actually could work like this year. I mean, I don't know how it will, but this is the reason. There's some owners that are pressuring Roger Goodell and thus. That's why this happened now.
Is there a good kicker out there that's been on the league for like 3 or 4 years that somebody could get?
There always is.
Because teams there's need kickers. Is. I'm going to stay on that rant for a while until I see something different.
Yeah.
Sorry. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM. The Fan, Great Lakes Dragway. Pick a lane.
Let's go to Doug in St. Francis. Doug, you're up next, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Doug, what you got, buddy?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
Got a little slim down staff tonight, but you guys are good. I love it.
Thanks.
Hey, I think
this is the original crew, Doug, just so you know, Spark and
I know. Yeah. I know. I've been listening since day one, Gary.
Yeah, there you go. Yep.
But I think certainly the Brewers can win a World Series. Will they? Well, it's hard to predict that. But, yeah, I think they can. I think they've got a winning formula going on there, and I like the management, the team, and how everything is run. I think the main reason I called is really the Packers. And I got to tell you, Gary, totally agree. It's health, totally agree. It's turnover ratio. But there's a different aura that I notice about the team, right? And I think it's the coaching staff and really the attitude of the coaching staff. Not necessarily all the X's and O's, right? Those can always be improved. But when you see the Packers, man, they're coming out. They're ready to play. They're relaxed. They seem like there's good team chemistry in the locker room. And I'd say on top of that, Aaron Jones is the difference maker for me. So putting that together, I think that's the reason why they're 8-2 is this whole different, change. The change has been great for this team. And you got to say Aaron Jones is really lighting the world on fire, I think, for the Packers.
Yeah, he is. Then thanks for your phone call. No doubt about it. Let's get out to my guy Louie in Franklin. Louie, you're up next, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Louie, what you got, buddy?
Good job as always, guys. I think they're 8-2 for one reason and one reason only, Brian Gutekunst. And he's brought something to this team that we haven't seen on this team since the mid-90s, and that's balance. And that's what wins championships. It's not defense. It's not offense. It's balance. So, I mean, if you think about it, the two pass rushers they brought in already have more sacks than Perry and Clay had in a season, and we're at the halfway point, really. They can run the ball. They can beat you throwing the ball. They can protect. They can get after the quarterback. They can turn you over. They can cover. They can control field position with the punt game. They can make field goals consistently with their kicker. So that's why I think throughout this season, the themes have been different. Is the defense a lead? Is Aaron Jones a lead? Is Rodgers an MVP candidate? How good are the Smiths? All this because they're not great in any category, but they have the ability to be elite in multiple categories every week, and I think that's the difference. I don't want to call it the coaching staff because I've seen a lot of, and you'll see this with a first-year head coach, a lot of hiccups with time management, with play calling. The first couple games, they let teams back in it because he wasn't aggressive. Maybe he got a little complacent with the play calling or conservative or didn't adjust, and that was his MO coming in, right? He's really good at scheming, not great at adjusting. So I think it's just the changes. And we're talking about a second receiver, investing, you got to give up something to get something. And if he's an all-time elite quarterback, which he is, he should be able to get by with a decent top-of-the-league running back, a top-tier receiver, and a bunch of guys with potential behind that. And you're going to have to do that as he ages. They just took two or three years too long, in my opinion, to do the same philosophy of get them a defense, get them a run game, and keep them upright. And I think that's what you're seeing with this team.
And thanks for your phone call. Louie, appreciate it, boss. Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at the team as a whole, I mean, I just think the philosophy's changed, and Rodgers is kind of buying into the philosophy. I don't know if that was a philosophy. Most certainly with Mike McCarthy. I think when you first saw Mike McCarthy's offense, it didn't look like it looked at the end. And so I think that morphed into maybe trying to take advantage of Aaron Rodgers. Then they started getting all these receivers, and these receivers started being about matchups. It got away from it. I can remember Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and I till we were blue in the face, could not believe why they wouldn't run Eddie Lacy. You got this big joker, 240 pounds. How come this joker ain't? And he was built to carry the ball 30 times. How come this joker ain't carrying the ball 30 times? Then we had the old obligatory, well, Rodgers would fake it to him and just stand up and throw it to the receivers out there, and that's what that offense was all about. I think more certainly that's what Rodgers was all about. And now Rodgers come in, you got to change. We don't even see disagreements going on sideline anymore, Steve. Have you noticed that between LaFleur and Rodgers?
No, that's all stopped.
Winning helps. Well, not even that, Steve. I think he bought in. He understands. Here's what we got to do. And now all LaFleur now just got to just – tune it up a little bit. Just monitor it. Now, they don't have to have those kind of collisions that they were having on the sidelines. I think now it's more by, hey, you know, you probably should have hit him over there. And then Rodgers not really bucking the system. He's watching Garoppolo win like 9 games with this doggone offense. I mean, you saw a San Francisco game? You saw how quick Garoppolo was getting the ball out of his hands?
Yep.
That's what the offense should look like.
Well, that very well may be what the offense should look like. But at the end of the day, it's going to be how Aaron Rodgers wants to play.
And no doubt
Aaron
about
Rodgers
it.
Aaron Rodgers played
no
one way
it.
Without Davante Adams yeah. and has played back yeah. to his old ways with
well,
Davante
I
Adams.
Well, I think right now it's a mix.
A mix of what?
Of LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Offense.
And LaFleur said that in preseason.
Yeah.
That
That's
we're
going to
work together and figure out what our offense is going to be.
It's a mix.
And after week one, I said this offense will be different by the time you get to week 10 and yeah. week 12 versus what you saw in week one.
Yeah.
And I think that has happened. It's going to continue yeah. to change now. You're going to get through this bye week. They're going to look at all this film. They're going to analyze and figure out how they want to change it.
Like.
Right. And it's going to look even more mm-hmm. different now in the second half of the season. No question about that.
You want to go to James?
Sure.
On the north side?
Sure.
James Phillips, 105.7 FM in the Fan. James, what you got, buddy?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, man.
So I want to jump in Cap's lane.
Jump in there, James.
So you guys are saying that this is a PR stunt and all this stuff.
Well, that's not what we're saying. We're saying
that's what Desmond Howard and Ryan Clark said.
What Desmond Howard said. We don't understand it.
Okay, well, let's look at it from another angle. What
Come on.
If Cap performs and just really shows out and shows he still has it? And and teams still don't bite or give him a chance. That'll really go to prove his point that the NFL turned their back on him and all the teams collaborated to say that they're not going to sign him. So if he performs well, given this short time, and he goes out there and performs and everybody can see it, and they still don't sign him and no team takes a chance on him and they go with these garbage backup quarterbacks, it goes to prove his point that the NFL collaborated not to sign him anyway.
Yeah. It could be.
All right. Thanks for the call. Everybody's going to have their conspiracy theories on this. And eventually, one day, we're going to find out what really is going on. I think there's more than meets the eye.
Right.
The one guy that knows everything when it comes to the Green Bay Packers is our guy embedded in Green Bay, our very own Mike Clemens. Show served up hot and fresh here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, along with former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson. Other side of the glass, our guy Daniel Plucker producing the show today. Leroy Butler off today. Baby Tausch off today as well. Baby Tausch back for certain tomorrow here on the Wendy's Big Show. Tomorrow on the Wendy's Big Show, by the way. We will have the one and only Jake Kokorowski from BadgerBlitz.com at 248, Rob Reichel 348, and then Daryl Thompson, analyst on the radio for Minnesota Gophers football, former Green Bay Packer running back as well. He'll join us tomorrow at 448. And don't forget, it's the Bud Light Huddle coming up tomorrow night at 6, live from Libby, Montana's in Fiendsville. Bill Michaels will be joined by the Fan's Ryan Horvath, host of the Chuck and Winkler pregame show, weekday mornings at 5 a.m. And CBS 58's Kevin Holden, again, that's tomorrow night at 6, live from Libby, Montana's in Fiendsville. Also, lots of fantasy football tomorrow on The Fan tomorrow. Kevin Payne from rotowire.com will be on. with Chuck and Winkler at 8:35. Bill Michaels takes a look around the NFC North tomorrow, getting guys on from the Lions, the Bears, and the Minnesota Vikings. That'll be going on throughout his show tomorrow, including fantasy football with Dave Richard from CBS Sports at 12:35 tomorrow on the Bill Michaels show. I wanted to dig in a little bit here and get Gary Allerson's thoughts on something. I was reading a big piece today on ESPN's website about the Nebraska Cornhuskers. And Scott Frost was the man in the picture. And the whole piece pretty much centered around whether or not this has gotten too far away from Nebraska. That it's gotten so far away now that you really can't rely on tradition and history to kind of pull you out of this. And within that piece, you have former Nebraska Cornhuskers like Jason Peters talking about the fact that, you know, we don't have much longer to go. Oh, remember when we were so good? And eventually that's going to go away. And he compared it to Army, how Army was really good for a long, long time. And then it got away and they were never, ever able to get it back. Do you think Nebraska is creeping in on that territory to, you know, maybe just kind of falling down into the depths of just not being a very good football program going forward? Because there are a lot of people, and Tom Osborne says it, the legendary Nebraska coach says it in the piece, that many, many Nebraska fans feel that if Scott Frost can't figure this thing out, it's over. Like, there's nobody going to figure this out if Scott Frost can't figure it out. They kind of view him as a, and he hates the word, but they kind of view him as the Messiah right now, that football program, and are relying on him to figure this out. And they have regressed big time this year at Nebraska. And this is a program you always talk about. When they came in the Big Ten, everybody thought was going to run roughshod over the Big Ten, and it has not turned out that way.
Just like Penn State.
Just like Penn State.
They have, with the landscape of college football is so different, Steve. I mean, they don't have an identity. I mean, just like Wisconsin now, you've finally come around to 15 years. Just like Wisconsin will be what Wisconsin is, they need to form an identity and what they want to be about. And they just haven't been able to do that yet. And identity mean like how they want to run their football program, how they want to run their offense, what they want to do on defense, what they want to hang their hat on, and they're going to have to be okay with 10 or 11 wins a year. I think they can do that. Now, Nebraska, that state, they don't produce a lot of players. When they were good, they were getting jokers out of California. And those kids from California ain't coming to Nebraska no more because they don't have that sex appeal anymore. I think that's where they used to be. Well, they're in the Big 12. Was that the Big 12 back in the day?
Right.
And the Big 12 used to be able to recruit a lot of kids out of California. Where, I mean, you go look at their roster, I don't think they have a lot of kids from California anymore. That's where you get all their kids from. All their good players came from out west. And since they joined the Big Ten, I think they've lost some of that. They lost some of that appeal. And plus, you know, it's cold in Nebraska. Them kids not coming here anymore. So they just got to figure out what they want to do and what they do best and formulate that plan and try to run with it. And that's happened to a lot of programs. USC is the same thing. Now, USC is a hot – they live there. I mean, they got all the kids there, but they've gone down. I mean, Florida is trying to make a comeback. What's another big program, Steve, I'm trying to think of?
Florida State.
USC, Florida – yeah, Florida State, there's another one.
You got to put them in there.
Trying to get it figured out. I mean, where hurt Florida State is, like Central Florida – what's the other one down there? They got two more teams down there that kind of diluted the talent a little bit. I think that hurt a lot of those schools in Florida, even Miami. Miami's not what it used to be anymore. I mean, the only teams right now that are, for a minute, most folks don't realize, but Alabama fell on hard times.
I remember. Mike Shula.
With Shula. And yeah. But who was the guy
and
that
then
came?
The other guy that was after Shula.
After Shula.
He was maybe before Shula.
He was disciple of Paul Bear Bryant. Forget his name.
Yeah, he was awful.
But they fell on hard times, and Nick Saban kind of brought them back. So, folks forget, but right now it's about Clemson. It's about Georgia's been always
Mike
good.
Mike DuBose was the one after Stallings. And
yeah,
then,
Gene Stallings, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one.
Stallings, that Mike DuBose was awful.
Right.
And by awful, he was 24-23, but that is awful
compared to Alabama.
Right. And then Dennis Francione came in, and he tried it for a quick, brief time. And then Mike Shula came in, and he was 10-23. Right. That's where it all went downhill. Right. And then they were finally able to get Nick Saban in 2007, and he's been pretty good, 127-20.
And then what happened after that, then you have to look at Notre Dame. They're trying to figure it out, right?
Yeah, to a degree. I'm looking at this Nebraska roster.
Yeah, any Californian kids?
Some.
Yeah, they used to have a bunch.
But I'm telling you right now, going through this roster, and I'm halfway,
kids are from.
Three quarters of the way through, a lot of Nebraska kids, a lot of kids from the South, a lot of Georgia, a lot of Florida. They got a few from Colorado if you go west.
Right.
But a lot of Southern kids, a lot of Nebraska kids is so pretty much what it looks like. A lot of west. Nebraska kids.
Yeah. They used to be, I mean, I don't know, if you go back, Steve, if you go back to the 70s, you go back to the 80s and look at the rosters back then, I would 81, 82, right around in there, I would just say half the roster was probably California kids. That'd be interesting if you could pull that up. It'd be great.
But I would definitely say over right around half the roster, if not more, is Nebraska.
Yeah. And they can't – I mean, it's not a hotbed for talent. I mean, they're trying to keep all their best players home.
Correct.
I get it. But they're like Wisconsin. They're going to have to go to Florida and Georgia,
you know,
get those skill position players.
It's interesting because we've had Barry Alvarez on the show, and I always refer back to when he was on a couple of years ago and said, you know, there aren't kids raising their hands wanting to play at Wisconsin.
That's
all
true.
Over the country. And I was livid.
Yeah.
And then Gary Anderson said, I disagree. I think I can put this Badger helmet down anywhere and get whoever I want.
Right.
Well, he didn't take into account the academics aspect of it.
Right.
But he kind of proved his point that he could get guys if he wanted to. And you read that piece on Nebraska today, and you have another guy, old school guy, Tom Osborne, who made that program as successful as it was,
mm-hmm.
and is legendary. He still holds an office there, still a part of that program,
yes,
whatever.
He's Nebraska.
Right. And Scott Frost played under him, who's now the head coach. So they have that personal relationship.
Mm-hmm. Former Packer.
Tom Osborne said in that piece, I'm kind of paraphrasing here, that he always found that the players that worked best were the players that wanted to play in Nebraska. The guys that we had to beg to come to Nebraska and do everything possible to try to get them to come to Nebraska, more times than not, never worked out to the expectation levels that we had for them. But the kids that really wanted to play here always tended to work out.
So that's why you sell the Nebraska kids now?
Yep. That's why I brought it up. That's my feeling.
And
they're going to try and reshape it that way.
They're not going to be able to win a Big Ten championship with just Nebraska kids. That's how Wisconsin are not going to be able to just win with players from the state of Wisconsin. I think you need to know what your strengths are, right? Wisconsin understands that. They know they can get 5-star, 4-star, even 3-star offensive linemen here. The 3-star offensive linemen, you can make them into 5-star offensive linemen. And they know where their bread is buttered. They know they can get linebackers out of Wisconsin like crazy. I think they figured that out. Defensive linemen, not so much, but they're dabbing in that. But it feels like defensively outside
they've
their corners.
They've had success at running back in the state.
Mm-hmm, their corners are from somewhere else.
Yes.
Right?
Wide receivers.
One safety may be from Wisconsin. If you go on offense, your receivers are from somewhere else. They've had some success with running backs here.
Yeah.
In the state. I mean, there are some good running backs here.
You've had guys here. John Clay, obviously. Brent Moss was another one.
Melvin
Gordon. Park.
Yeah.
Melvin Gordon, Kenosha Bradford.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so they've had some success with that. So I think Wisconsin, they understand they have identified who they want to be and how they want to recruit, and that's going to equal to 10 or 11 wins, maybe a Big Ten championship game, probably lose that against Ohio State because we don't have enough. And then there you go. Michigan is another program that can't figure it out.
Correct. And they've had many different identities.
Many.
They've had the Big Ten identity. Then Rich Rod came in and switched the identity. Then they wanted to go back the other way.
Well, Rich Rod wanted to do Gary Anderson.
Right.
And that killed that program for a while.
So that killed it. Then they wanted to go back to Big Ten style again.
Right.
And then that dude didn't work out. And then Jim Harbaugh comes in.
And I don't get Jim Harbaugh because what he did at Stanford was Big Ten.
Correct. And I think that's what he wanted to do. But then they panicked after last year and said, we need to go to more of a modern offense and spread it out like everybody else and adjust with the times. So Harbaugh brought in a young up-and-comer to kind of run his offense, and it hasn't worked. It has not worked.
You want to do me a favor?
He's grasping at straws at Michigan. That's what Jim Harbaugh is doing.
You want to do me a favor? Can we get Coach DeNardo on? You want to put in for him?
Sure.
I like to talk to him about just the landscape of the Big Ten and that the recruiting, Nebraska, Minnesota. Got Darryl Thompson on tomorrow. We're going to talk to him a little bit about Minnesota. I mean, maybe Minnesota's figured it out finally with PJ.
PJ Fleck. Fleck appears to be a bad, bad man.
Yeah, and that's not good, good, good for Wisconsin.
Come on. You don't have faith in your guy, Paul Chris, to be able to hang with Minnesota? How much more how much better could they really be at recruiting than Wisconsin? Academic standards have got to be close.
No, I think they can get kids in at Minnesota.
More than Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I never heard that before.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe yeah. You're right. I don't know. Oh, yeah. I don't know the academic standards in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I have no clue.
Yeah.
Either way. I don't think Fleck can get on a run like Wisconsin's been on for the last 20 years. You think he can get on that type of run?
I don't think he can get on that kind of a run.
Rose Bowls.
I don't think he can get on that run, but I think he can make it difficult. Right now, it feels like Iowa has already taken a step back. Doesn't it?
Kirk Ferentz should have retired 5 years ago.
And they're not going to fire
and
him.
And I'm sorry. Not fire. I said retire.
I'm just saying, well, they're not going to fire him.
So that should have been the end of that. And I'll tell you something else.
They're not going
to
fire him.
And I'll take it a whole nother level. What they should do, they should force him out and go hire Bielema.
They're not going to do
that. That's what they should do. They should bring Bielema back into the Big Ten and let him coach at Iowa against the Badgers, Minnesota. He knows the recruiting circles around here. He knows all of that. He knows how to win in the Big Ten. He did it at Wisconsin, and I hate Brett Bielema, so let's be clear. But I think that would make sense for Iowa.
He'd give him some juice.
Yes, he would.
He would.
And he'd be talking.
Yeah, he'd give him some juice.
He'd put Iowa on the map. I don't know how well he'd – he'd do better at Iowa than he did at Arkansas.
Yeah.
I promise you that much. He would not be as bad at Iowa as he was at Arkansas, competing against all these giants in the Southeast. He's Gary Ellerson, Steve Sparky, Fiver, Wendy's Big Show here on The Fan. Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Fiver, Gary Ellerson. Don't forget Bud Light Huddle coming up tomorrow night at 6 live from Libby, Montana's in Thiensville. Bill Michaels will be joined by The Fan's Ryan Horvath, the host of the Chuck and Winkler pregame show that you can hear weekday mornings at 5 a.m. And in CBS 58's Kevin Holden again tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, Libby, Montana's in Thiensville. Be there. And then, of course, lots of fantasy football tomorrow on The Fan. Chuck and Winkler of Kevin Payne on from rotowire.com at 8:35. Bill Michaels show. They'll look around the NFC North with a bunch of different people from the Bears, Lions, and Vikings throughout that show from 10 till 2. And then fantasy football with Dave Richard from CBS Sports at 12:35 tomorrow here on The Fan. As far as our show goes, Jay Kokorowski from BadgerBlitz.com, part of the Rivals Network. He'll join us tomorrow at 2:48. Rob Reichel from Forbes, Conley Media at 3:48. We'll talk with Darryl Thompson, former Packer and Gopher running back, now a radio analyst for Gopher football. He'll join us at 4:48 tomorrow. And then, of course, Mike Clemens at 5:35. That's what your lineup looks like tomorrow on The Fan. As we get ready to see how this is going to go with the Bucks and Giannis as they get back to action tomorrow night. And Marcus Landry, by the way, former Badger basketball player, will be co-hosting tomorrow night with Baby Tausch on The Fan after the Bucks game. So that'll be fun to hear Marcus Landry and Billy talk about the game tomorrow night. Gary, how concerned are you about the Middleton thing kind of playing itself out here over 3 or 4 weeks? Give me best case scenario for this Bucks team over the next 3 or 4 weeks of how it benefits the Bucks most or how it would work out if you were John Horst Bucks, how you want to see it work out.
You have a schedule in front of you? I mean, we did talk to, what's his name, Ryan?
Ryan McDonough, Suns GM, former GM earlier today at 345, radio.com, Sports NBA Insider.
And he said they had a favorable record here the next month.
Yes.
Which is good. And I think if you're looking at the Milwaukee Bucks, I think it's, to me, you got to go ahead and experiment with your lineup. You got to go ahead and let these young kids play. You know, Connaughton, you know, is going to be a mainstay. You got to look at Brown, right? You got to look at DiVincenzo. I mean, those three guys come to my mind right there.
Okay.
I think you need a little bit more from.
So tomorrow night, home against the Bulls.
Okay.
That should be a win,
should
right?
Should be a win. Mm-hmm.
Saturday at the Pacers and Malcolm Brogdon. That won't be as easy of a game. Monday night, the 18th, at the Bulls. Win. Wednesday night at the Hawks. That should be a win. Thursday night, the 21st, home against Portland. That is on TNT. That won't be an easy game. 23rd, home against the Pistons. 25th versus Utah on NBA TV at home against the Bucks Arena. That'll be a tough game. Then home against the Hawks. That's another one. Then at Cleveland, home against Charlotte. Those are all should be wins. Home against the Knicks. Obviously, they're not going to win all the games they're supposed to win.
Right.
But I'm just saying these are games that they should win.
Correct.
At Detroit, December 4th. Home against the Clippers. That'll be tough. December 9th, home against Orlando. That should be a win. The 11th is home against the Pelicans. That should be a win. And then the 13th is at Memphis, 14th home against Cleveland. That's 1 month.
Right.
So really in this whole run of a month, if you include a month starting tomorrow all the way to December 14th, they probably got a handful of games that could give them problems where you look at it and go, okay, well, they may lose this game without Middleton. The rest of them, you should still all win, even though you don't have Chris Middleton at the end of the day, Gary. And that speaks to the talent level on this basketball team. And also speaks to the fact that you have a superstar in Giannis that can carry a basketball team even if others aren't scoring in games against inferior teams and still win.
Right, no doubt about it. And I think that's when you look at them right now, the Bucks. I mean, they got depth. I mean, I think it's depth that still need to be developed. And I think it's depth that when you look at a Joker, we need you. We need to count on you. Of course, it's about Bledsoe. I mean, of course, he's got to step his game up. But Bledsoe is not. He's not that five-star player like Giannis where he's going to be able to do it every single night, right? I still think he has some nights where he's going to struggle a little bit and not give you what you need to get out of him. So I think it's imperative these other guys step up that I talked about.
Yeah, I agree with you. Some breaking news here on The Fan, powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Baseball news, more awards. Tomorrow the MVP award comes out, so we'll find out if Christian Yelich wins back-to-back MVPs tomorrow. But Dan Plucker telling my ear the Cy Youngs have been announced. Justin Verlander wins the AL Cy Young, and DeGrom wins the NL Cy Young Award. I'm not surprised by either one.
No.
Personally, I think DeGrom obviously had a great year, and Verlander is who Verlander is. Verlander, remember a couple of years back, wasn't pitching all that great, and people were questioning whether or not Verlander could get back to where he was. And he has been a rock star here the last couple of years.
He found the fountain of youth, Steve.
What's her name again?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, come on. What's her name? Come on, Plucker. What's her name? Tell me in my ear. What's her name? Kate Upton. I read your lips. Kate Upton. Yeah, Kate Upton is his fountain of youth is what he found. But she was with him when he was struggling, too, so I don't think it's all Kate Upton.
Oh, no. Oh, no. She brought him back, cuz.
I don't think.
Now they got a couple kids, I think.
Yeah. Did you see the thing on Danica saying that, you know, Aaron Rodgers could propose tomorrow? Propose anytime now?
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did. That was a couple days ago. It was all over the internet.
Why didn't you talk about it?
That he could propose at any. He could propose tomorrow for all she knows. Yeah, propose tomorrow.
He could or she wants him to?
Probably both. I'm not exactly sure, but.
Find that again. She could. What is she saying? She wants him to or he?
He could. He could propose tomorrow for all I know.
Right. So she's saying he's smitten.
Oh, come on, they both are. He's Gary Ellison. I see Sparky Fiver.
That didn't work out.
We'll talk more about this tomorrow on the Wendy's Big Show, CBS Sports Radio, straight ahead here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.